Welcome to Say Lifted Sis. For those who don't know me, I am Devin J. Hall, the loudmouth brown girl. I am an author, founder, podcaster, writer, blogger, and content creator. Today, I have a guest with me named Ashley Fuentes. I hope I said your name correctly. Ashley and I are going to be talking about mental health and disability. So there is a content warning for sex, childhood memories, cannabis use, politics, and open swearing. If you need to put your children away, or maybe this might be too triggering for you, we understand, and we appreciate you for trying to listen anyways. We also respectfully acknowledge that we are recording on the traditional and unceded territory of the Coast Salish people, specifically the Kwantlen, the Katsi, the Semiamu, and the Tawasin First Nations. We are nothing if we are not aware of that which came before. Ashley, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm excited to talk to you today because we talked a little bit before the show, and I'm going to let you tell your story, but you deal with some of the same things that I deal with. And so when I wanted to start Say Lifted Sis, I wanted it to be a show that's like, yes, I deal with mental health issues and I do some weird shit sometimes.
Yes.
And I can tell by your glasses, which I love, by the way, they're so cute, that you do some weird shit sometimes. So I'm excited.
Yes.
To it. So tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do and what's going on with you.
So I am a mother of three kids. I'm a children's author. I teach children's yoga, and I'm a podcaster myself. And I have bipolar, I have OCD, I have ADHD, and all my kids have mental health issues. And I really do weird shit. I mentioned to you just before, yesterday I just chopped down a tree in my backyard, because I'm currently manic. So life is interesting, and heaven help my husband.
That I want to get into, because there are lots of people in the world who have mental health issues and have beautiful, loving partners that are like wonderful and understanding and like, cool, honey, you're going to go cut down a tree. I'm going to go take the kids to like McDonald's for an hour. Then there are people.
I didn't tell my husband I was going to cut down the tree.
There are people like me that are like, I'm probably going to end up being the person who cuts down a tree. So are you sure you want to go here? So when you got into that conversation with your partner, right, about like, I have mental health issues, what was that like initially?
So I didn't know I had mental health issues until after I had my first kid.
Okay.
And then actually the way it all unfolded, he started having mental health issues before I did. He ended up having severe anxiety. And so we went through all of his mental health issues before mine really developed.
Okay.
And so it ended up making him really empathetic.
Okay.
So I personally feel really fortunate, because now he's really empathetic to mine, but his only lasted, his severe, I mean, he still has them. His is ongoing. But, you know, I've had to go to, you know, like UCLA to an inpatient program. I've been on, you know, constantly on medications, changing medications. I mean, mine's been very spastic, and, you know, I have severe, you know, my manic sessions. So mine's a lot more challenging than his is managed.
Okay.
It's very different.
I think that's important to mention, that mental health issues are different depending, because like when I'm manic, my manic is I go and I cry for like 2 or 3 hours, and I'll come out of my family's like, "Are you okay? Like you've been crying," and I'm like, "No, I needed that. I needed to, like, I've been holding on to some stuff and I needed to release it." And so for me, it's like it's a healthy thing. It's something I can control and something that I can manage. Not everybody, and I don't know about you, but not everybody is capable of handling things the same way.
Yeah.
We're all different. And I think that that's important to mention, because like, if you're out there and you're listening to Ashley, I don't want you to be like, "Oh my God, I have mental health issues. I'm going to freak out and everything's going to be terrible and I'm going to be miserable forever." Like, that's not the case. if you're listening to me, it's not going to be, I'm going to be happy forever, because I am not happy all the time. There's a wavelength and you got to learn to ride it. Right. And it's, I just want to warn the audience that it's manageable for some people. We got this and we're not alone, and that's important. And I love that you reached out, because you're pretty open about, like, you, some people admit to having mental health issues and they break down because it's so new for them. And it's scary. And you seem to be like, I got this. Like, you have an air about you.
I probably scare more people because I, one of the first things, like I said, it's not my identity, but I want people to, I talk about it. It's something that, I'm having a manic day. I'm depressed. I'm not shy about it. You know, if I'm around someone, if I'm at church, if I see someone talking wrongly about something, I'm going to stand up and say, no, there's this issue going on. I know about it because I deal with it too. And so I'm trying to spread awareness and try to destigmatize it.
I really appreciate that. And I love that you use that word destigmatize, because, again, it's such a new science. And there's so much that we don't understand about white women's mental health versus black women's mental health versus Asian women's mental health versus Iranian women's mental health. Like, our mental health is different because of what we experience, and the traumas that we experience are so different and so vast that, like, we don't have a dedicated book that's like, this is what bipolar looks like. Because what it is for you is totally different than it is for someone else. So when it comes to your kids, you mentioned that they have mental health issues. That sounds like a lot to deal with, mama.
It is. My daughter yesterday just had heart palpitations. So my children have anxiety and ADHD. Okay. So I got a call from the school because they're in after school care. And they're like, hey, your daughter's not doing well. And so my daughter gets on the phone and she's like, mom, my chest hurts. Now, my husband has heart palpitations that goes along with his severe anxiety. And so I called him up and I was like, hey, dear, I think you need to come home. You know, I need you to figure out what's going on with her. So he comes home and he is amazing with children. I marvel at how he's able to deal with kids. And he comes home and I can handle their anxiety. I know how to handle their anxiety. But he's able to really talk them through how things feel. Mm. And he was talking to her and he was getting an idea. And then, he was able to come up and explain how heart palpitations work. And then he was able to relate to her how his heart palpitations work and how his body feels. And then help her feel and help her know that it's okay. And that sometimes that our body plays tricks on us.
I'm not going to lie. I find the idea of a man who knows how to explain mental health issues to a child deeply appealing.
Oh my gosh. I'm sitting there and I'm just going, I can't believe I married this man. Like, he's always been attracted to me.
It's like very an attractive quality. A very attractive
quality.
Because I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm 30 something years old. I don't know how to explain it to myself. How do you explain it to somebody else? Let alone dumb it down enough for a child to understand when they're in the middle of it. Like, that's a lot of work. And that, I really appreciate anybody that's willing to do that amount of work.
He's amazing. My husband is amazing on so many levels, but that, once again, I was just floored by him, and his abilities. But, so my children's mental is, you know, my son is starting to show signs of OCD. So, you know, he'll have nights where he can't, sorry?
You're cutting up there, right? We didn't quite.
Oh, sorry. My, My computer seems to be having issues. Is this any better?
Yeah, much better.
Okay. So my son's showing signs of OCD.
Okay.
So he has nights where he feels like someone's coming into the house, trying to break into the house. Okay. So he can't go to sleep. So he comes out after laying in bed for about an hour crying in his bed.
Have you tried music with him at night?
I haven't tried music with him.
Because I had a stalker until recently. And nobody believes me because stalker, like, you know how they behave. They get away with it a lot of times. But having headphones in with music that I like, I'm asleep within 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Out. No fear, no anxiety, no, like, and even if I'm anxious, I just kind of, and I have a memory foam pillow that I snuggle that really helps to calm my anxiety because I can scream into it and nobody can hear, or I can, like, grip it really tight, and that seems to really help. So maybe try music and a memory foam pillow.
He has a stuffed animal that he always sleeps with. But yeah, we'll try the headphones.
Yeah, it has been a game changer.
Okay.
Thank you. To the audience, for the record, my stalker is now gone.
I'm so glad to hear that.
I'm pretty sure he's died and passed on to another life, but I just want to clarify before we move on. The stalker is gone and has been gone for several weeks, and we are all very excited, and cameras have been set up and everything.
Wonderful.
So I'm safe. You don't have to worry. But that was one thing that, like, when it was happening, I was struggling to sleep at night, and my anxiety
yes.
was a lot higher than it normally is, and my hair went white. It was a very horrendous experience, but the memory foam pillow and the music seemed to, and I used it just last night too, right? So yes. something to think about. What about your friends? Like, did you notice, because I noticed at the beginning of the pandemic, I cut everybody out of my, I was one of the people that was like, I need space to just be myself.
So I actually have a friend who has OCD.
Okay.
And so she can be either really helpful or I have to cut her out.
Yeah.
Because either we can be very supportive of each other or we're oil and water.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So either my friends, I have a very small group of friends. I probably have two or three friends that I really rely on. And then everyone else, I just, it's just my family.
Yeah, me too.
Because these are people that I can trust, and I can know that I can tell everything to.
Yeah. And I think safety when you have mental health issues is such a big part of mm-hmm. of our experience and our journey. And knowing that we're going to be safe with people is such a difficult feeling to achieve because we've fallen off a cliff. Like, okay, you have mental health issues. What does that mean? And you don't get to really start climbing back up that cliff until you understand what those issues are and what they mean and how they affect your life. And so mm-hmm. having that small group, like that small circle, is so important. And I think we got to get out of this idea that we were in high school, that like we have to have a million friends to be happy, when really you just need your core.
Yeah.
Sisterhood. Find your sisterhood. Is there any advice that you have for people who are just finding out that they have mental health issues?
Research. Yeah. Not necessarily on the internet.
Yeah.
Because that'll drive you crazy. Always go to a therapist. Go to a therapist and find out if there's a good book. Find out if there's a good book that can give you some insight into how to cope with your mental health. The hard thing about being bipolar is that there's really no therapy that is beneficial. I don't know if you found that.
I found that I've been diagnosed as schizophrenic and psychotic, but there's okay. no basis for this diagnosis. And there's no, I'm like, what does that mean? And they're like, well, we don't really know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. So you're giving me a diagnosis, but you don't actually know what the diagnosis means.
Yeah.
So I have little faith that that is an actual accurate diagnosis.
I completely understand. It took them 5 years for them to fully diagnose me as bipolar. They went back and forth between bipolar and depression for three to five years. They went back and forth.
Yeah.
Bipolar is not, I don't go out and buy a car. I go out and I do smaller things, but they're still, I chop down a tree. Yeah, it's still a very spur of the moment decision that I can't turn back from.
Yeah.
But it's not $1,000 decision or thousands of dollar decision.
Yeah.
So it took them a while.
I don't do that. I like if it's gonna cost me something, like if it's gonna cost me money, I'm like, I have enough impulse control to pull back from some things like that if it's gonna cost me money. If it's like a tattoo and someone's like, here's a grand, what are you gonna do? I'm probably gonna go get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Like it's a fairly reasonable amount of impulse control, right? But that being said, my mother would flip that around and be like, oh, really? You think that getting a tattoo gives you an idea that you have good impulse control? And I'm like, but do you understand that it took me 3 years to decide this was the tattoo?
Yeah.
I was gonna get? Like, I didn't just decide it overnight, right? So it's not definitive is what I'm trying to say. It's very dependent on, like, who is this diagnosis coming from?
Yeah.
Because in reality,
I understand.
Again, mental health is still new. We don't have a single book that's like, this is what psychosis is, or this is what bipolar is. So it can be, for me anyways, it's really frustrating because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm autistic. And they're like, no, you're psychotic. And I'm like, no, but I'm pretty sure I'm autistic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
They gave me a schizophrenic diagnosis once too. Because again, they don't
listen to patients.
No, it is very much a guessing game. So yeah, get multiple opinions. Keep going back and find a therapist. Find a psychiatrist. Go to a psychiatrist and talk to them. And if you don't feel like they're listening to you, find a different psychiatrist.
I agree with you 100%. If you can find a different psychiatrist, go ahead. I'm in a situation where I'm on outpatient care, so I don't have a choice. And I'm like, really? So I did everything you asked. Like, it's a situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, I'm frustrated.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Even trying to explain it. And I'm like, and I know that I'm the smartest person in the room because I've done research. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
What I say. And so a lot of patients are going to go through that. And I just want you guys to know that, like, it's part of the process. It's a crazy part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard.
Hard.
Like, I remember when I would, like, with my OCD, I would explain to one of my psychiatrists, my first psychiatrist, oh my gosh, this was so hard. I would have these, when I was walking my baby, walking my first child, we'd have these bluffs. So, you know, bluffs are kind of like they're cliffs. So I'd be walking by these cliffs and I'd have this thought of what would happen, or I should let go of the stroller and let it roll down the cliff. It's like a small cliff, but my irrational thought was, oh, the stroller would just roll down and the baby would be fine, just kind of be rolling down the cliff and be fine at the bottom. My logical brain is saying, oh no, that's not what's going to happen. But the irrational is saying, no, it's going to be totally fine.
Yeah.
So
it's like having two totally different people in your brain.
Exactly. Exactly.
One is the angel and one is the bad angel. And then there's you in the middle going, will you both shut the fuck up?
Exactly. So I've told my psychiatrist this. I've told other illogical or these other thoughts that I've had. And she just, takes it and she's, writing me prescriptions and whatnot. So for some reason, I ended up going to a different one, different psychiatrist. And I tell her I have these thoughts and she's like, oh, those are, how would she say, not irrational thoughts, intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
And I put it up. And I'm like, intrusive? That's exactly what they are. She's like, oh, you have OCD. And I sit back. I have OCD. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a name for this. And it just clicked. And just, I felt so much better knowing that I wasn't trying to harm my child. For the past 5 years, I thought I was going to have that I've been hiding this, thinking CPS, if I told anyone, CPS was going to come and take my child.
Hmm.
And I all of a sudden, I mean, I still, this is one of the hardest things for me to share in terms of my mental health journey. I don't mind talking about my manic. I don't mind talking about this, but talking about how I wanted to let my child roll down a cliff is so shameful and guilt-ridden.
Let me tell you a secret.
Yeah.
I grew up in my 20s. Everybody had babies. I was the only one who was like, these legs are closed. You can't have none. I don't want babies. I don't want marriage. Leave me alone. Didn't want to raise anybody's babies, and I ended up raising everybody's babies. And babies started calling me mom. And I used to sit there, and like people would just like thrust their children at me, and I'm like, what would happen if I dropped this child? Like, this is not my kid. I don't care. Like, get this thing away from me. And now there is a person who has made it known that they would like something more. And the strings that come with the more are the marriage and the baby part. And I'm like, no. Because of that fear of having those
intrusions. Yeah.
Because you are not the only one that has said that. I've heard this before from other women, is what I'm saying. That fear that, like, I thought I wanted to hurt my kid, but no, I really just had these intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
And I don't have intrusive thoughts, but I'm terrified that the act of pregnancy will bring on or
it does. It can.
Already mental health issues that I have.
It can. That's what happened to me. So, I mean, I can trace my OCD back to when I was 12.
Yeah.
And then it just got worse. And then during my pregnancy, my dog's barking. My pregnancy really triggered it. And then it spiraled. After each child, my pregnancy just got, my mental health just deteriorated.
Well, because your hormones get affected, right?
And like, exactly.
You're on medication, but you're also pregnant, but you're also like dealing with mental health issues and hormonal imbalance and chemical imbalance and all that. And pregnancy will only exacerbate that. And I'm like, and you want me to give birth? Are you insane? Like, have you seen Good Trouble?
Well, and then on top of all of this, did you read that they don't even think that serotonin is what causes depression anymore?
That part, like, okay, cool. So for the last 30 years, you've been saying XYZ.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it was only soldiers that had PTSD.
Exactly.
You only could have PTSD if you were in the Army. Okay, well, but then it was... Well, if somebody's beating you up, you could maybe be traumatized. Or if you've been held at gunpoint, maybe, okay. Everything traumatizes us. The dog is traumatized. Everything is traumatized now.
Yeah.
And there was a time between 2020 and 2021 when it was like, I'm traumatized. It was every tweet on Twitter, and it lost all meaning.
Yeah.
It just did. Like, the word lost all meaning because everybody's traumatized by something. but we still don't have that sacred book that says this is why.
Exactly.
And I feel like maybe, and you'll get this too, I feel a bit like a lab rat, like you're just testing drugs on me to see what'll work.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that part?
I don't know.
Nothing but stellar answers here. And I say that because that's my response too. Is I don't know. And that's the scary part, because we go to these doctors expecting that they're going to have all the answers. And that moment when you sat back and you said, oh, I have OCD. I feel that, because I'm like, wait a minute, I tap, or I do this a lot when I get anxious. And it's that need to expel energy, but not really knowing why.
Uh-huh.
And so when you speak, I'm like, I've been misdiagnosed. But if you're in my position and you're forced to see a specific set of doctors, like, what do you do to like get out of that situation? Oh, well, you can get a lawyer. Oh, okay. Well, who's going to pay for that?
Exactly. Who's going to pay for that? So actually, when it comes to not having the right doctors, that is where Google comes in.
Yeah.
So I've had the opportunity where, I have Googled and actually diagnosed myself on a few things. I know Google is a huge black hole.
Yeah.
Oh, Google's responding to me.
You can fall down the rabbit hole really, really quickly.
You can pull a rabbit hole down really, really quick.
You can go from I might have OCD to oh my god, I'm psychotic and I might like mass murder a bunch of people in 10 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But if you keep it really tight, then there is a chance that maybe you need to bring a couple of different diagnoses to the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Say, look, here are my symptoms. I've done some research on Google. Let them roll their eyes. No, they're going to roll their eyes and be like, look, these are my concerns with the diagnosis you have presented me with. And these are some things that I've looked at on Google. You know, what are your thoughts on this? Like, I did this with medicine, with my last doctor. I said, look, I've done some research. I'm having issues with my current medicine. I've done some research and, you know, lithium is supposed to be one of the best bipolar medicines. Can we try lithium? And he rolled his eyes and he said, well, you know, it's this, but you know, if you want to try it, then, you know, it'll harm your kidneys. It'll do this. And he's like, but you know, and I'm like, look, it's still considered one of the best, you know, OCD medicines. He's like, well, we'll start you out on this. I was like, okay. Now, has it worked? I mean, I've had two really bad manic sessions in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
I can't say, and now the lithium dose I'm on is really small right now. So I probably need to go up a dose, take my dosage up. So I can't say right now whether the lithium is working or not, but you know, at least I'm being proactive because he hasn't presented a solution.
I have two things to that, because one, they did put me on lithium. They put me on 600 milligrams, which is a high dose. And I was pregnant and I didn't know. So
they had you on it while you were pregnant?
They didn't know I was pregnant and I didn't know.
Okay.
I lost the baby. We didn't know. It was like I got pregnant and started taking lithium at the same time and didn't know that I was
okay.
So check before, like get a test before, please. I'm begging you.
Oh, my husband's fixed, so not a problem. I don't have sex with anyone.
To the audience, though.
To the audience, though. Get a test before.
Get a pregnancy test. Make sure that, like, before you take any new medications.
Yes.
Secondly, have you tried cannabis though? Like, and I know, like,
do you know what? I have it.
Try it.
Okay.
Try it. Smoke a joint.
I haven't.
Sleep. Smoke a little bit. Just see how it makes you feel.
Now I will ask, what would be the difference between trying cannabis versus the THC?
It's okay. Are you thinking of an edible?
No, the.
Or the pills.
Yeah, like the not the what? Oh my gosh, I'm completely blank on the like what now is sold everywhere.
Okay, so when we're talking about cannabis, for me, I smoke indica, which is a daytime strain, versus sativa, which is a nighttime strain, right?
Okay.
And so I choose indica because it helps me focus, it helps me work, it helps me just like decompress. And when I'm having a manic moment, I'll smoke a joint and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy. This is my happy place. And at nighttime, it just kind of helps keep the anxiety under control and it helps me sleep. I started smoking cannabis. If you listen to the show or you heard the other show, Comfortably Uncomfortable Conversations, or you've read the blog, I started smoking cannabis when I got arrested for having a panic attack on an airplane. Came home after a 3-day bus ride with two siblings who did not stop arguing. I felt like they were my children, which is one more reason I don't want to have kids. Sat on my balcony for 3 weeks and smoked weed and thought, I didn't have a job. I was volunteering at an organization I wasn't really that thrilled with being a part of. I was like, why not? Like, I've got time to figure out what I want to do with my life. Why don't I just try cannabis? Because it was either that or drink. Like, those were my options at the moment. I could feel the mental health issues, like, scratching at the surface of my brain. And I could feel all of the trauma memories coming. And I was like, if I don't start drinking, I'm going to lose my shit. Started smoking cannabis, had a complete psychotic breakdown. I'll tell you why after. And I've been on it ever since, and it's just changed my life. Like, I don't fight with my family anymore, and I'm in a pleasant mood all the time. And my mom's like, what's with you? Like, why are you, like, you're happy, or you're singing, you're dancing? And I'm like, I'm high. And even when I'm not stoned, I'm still like that medication is still flowing through my body. And so for those of you that don't know, the human body actually has a cannabinoid system. So our bodies were designed to work with cannabis and with plant medicine. So sometimes when we have mental health issues, what it is when we're talking about like a chemical imbalance, sometimes we just need a little bit of cannabis.
Okay.
Just say it. Just a thought, something to talk about with your doctor.
No, it's something I have thought about. It's something I've thought about. The church I go to, for medical cannabis, they've always been open to it, but you know, they've always been very anti-drugs. So the fact that, you know, this diagnosis, you know, has still been relatively, you know, the last, you know, 8 years, still relatively new. It's something I've been interested in trying, but I've been trying all the medical stuff first, and I haven't fully looked into medical cannabis.
Introduce you to some really great cannabis coaches.
That would be great. That would be great.
I can introduce you to some cool people. Education is a really great organization, and I will give you that information after we're done here.
Thank you.
And I'll
thank
put you in the show notes as well. They are a great group of women from across Canada, all certified cannabis coaches who have studied the plant and who use it themselves. And they don't teach without using it themselves. So I really like that aspect, that like the people prescribing the medication are also the people using the medication.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. I don't necessarily work with them anymore, But that's a different story. So what does a good day look like?
What is a what? She has her own issues.
You know what? We are dog friendly here on Stay Lifted Sis, so it's okay. She's allowed to input her wisdom. What does a good day look like for you?
What does a good day look like for me? I can get up and take my kids to school. I do work for a living, so I'm able to get some work done and focus, and I'm able to be productive. I'm able to be productive and not yell at my kids very much.
Yeah.
Maybe make dinner.
That's the one thing that cannabis did for me. I stopped yelling like 100%.
Oh my gosh. Maybe I really do need to try it.
If you yell at me, I will yell at you louder one time and then I'll stop. That's it. You get one out of me. You get one bark and then I'm done. I'm not, and that's a hard boundary for me because I'm not arguing anymore. It's too stressful. It's just too much. So it's like, nope, I don't care. I would make a terrible mother because it's like, mom, can I have candy? No. Like, there's no, you can scream, you can cry, you can yell, I'll let you, and people can think I'm mean, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't have it in me. Where can people find you online?
Oh my gosh. Type in Reed and Yoga and you'll find me. I have a website, reedandyoga.com. I'm on Instagram at Reed and Yoga. Those are the two main places I'm at. And you'll find me.
So we didn't get a chance to talk about books and I want to. Who are some of your favorite authors?
Oh my gosh, some of my favorite authors. Jane Austen. And Charles Dickens. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Those are some of the first authors that I've really got into. I love their wittiness. Jane Austen, the way that she claps back at men sometimes is just classic. I love that she is such a strong female author back in the 1800s. Charles Dickens.
Did you see Jane? Did you see the movie?
I did. It wasn't my favorite because I didn't really feel like it captured her.
It was terrible. It was absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it didn't capture her. It was more focused on her love life.
And that's the thing. Like towards the end of it, I went, "Ooh, okay, you got her." And then they went, "Yeah, we're gonna give her the man." And I'm like, "Okay, see, Jane would never have been."
Her books were kind of inspired by her love life, but no, there's a reason why. No, she has a strong heroine. Her heroines, yeah, they get married because back in the 1800s, that's what you're supposed to do, but
it wasn't.
You know, that's not who she was.
Right. So what kind of writing gets you really going and gets you inspired besides Jane Austen? Like when you're writing your own stuff, what is the thing that, like, this is something I have to write about right now?
My own life.
Yeah.
Honestly. And so I write children's books. What inspires me to write my children's books? I don't know. That sounds horrible. Classic children's books. I love Harold and the Purple Crayon. That has always been a staple in my life. I don't know. Snowy Day, that's one of my favorites. I don't know. I mean, my podcast is full of my favorite children's books. All those books really, you know, inspire me, but when it comes to me writing my books, fables, those are all really, reading fables and reading fairy tales. Those are probably some of the best things that inspire me. Fairy tales.
Real quickly, what's your favorite fairy tale?
Oh my gosh, my favorite fairy tale, probably The Goose Girl.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, it sounds really weird.
Mine is Rapunzel.
Rapunzel.
Which is ironic because I just cut my hair off. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not waiting for you to bring a ladder back. I'm not making one for you. It's gone. Like, you're...
Did you see... Oh, what's her name? She played the main character in Parks and Recreation. Is it Amy Poehler?
Okay.
She did a... I think it was a Snapple. She did a Fairy Tales Reimagined.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so one of them was Rapunzel.
I didn't see that one, no.
You'll have to look it up. So essentially it was Rapunzel saying, you know, the prince saying, Rapunzel, let down your hair. And she says, no. And she cuts her hair off and she goes down and she saves herself.
Yeah, that's why I like Rapunzel.
Yeah. So it's really, you have to look it up. It's really cute.
I've always resonated with that story. It's always been my favorite. It's one of Maleficent is actually what inspired me to write What Are Stars Made Of, which is a fairy tale that I wrote about a prince with talking to his dead mother, trying to understand like why she's gone. It's on my website if you want to read it. I haven't published it. There's artwork that goes with it. But it's one of my favorite stories that I've ever written. Because it expresses, it's about a little brown boy and he's like talking to his mom who's gone and she's trying to explain to him like I'm in the stars and I'm watching over you and I'm
oh wonderful
still here. And I finished it and I thought, I wrote a children's book. Like I wrote, it's just a poem, but like I will publish it one day as a book.
Yeah.
Because the art is so beautiful and the artist did such a great job that I'm like, I have to see this.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's my cat's turn now. thank you for joining me today. I've really had... It's so important to me for patients of mental health issues to connect with other patients. And to really have the opportunity to be able to say, me too. Mm-hmm. And, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
To feel that the weight of stigma has been taken off their shoulders. And I think with the openness that you share your story, you have done that so beautifully. I would like to formally invite you to join us for Survivors Connection as a speaker, because it's something that I want to do every year where patients can get together and just like talk on a live stream about like what is mental health look like as a patient.
Thank you.
And I think that you you do it so beautifully and so profoundly, because it's so difficult to talk about these things and you are just like, nope, I'm here and I have them and I'm still living and it's beautiful. And I love it. And I really love you. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Ashley Fuentes and Devin J. Hall. You can find me at loudmouthbrowngirl.com. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to stay lifted, sis.